Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 14th China Fahui on the Minghui website, entitled Lawyer Experiences Magnificence of the Fa Principles, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in Gansu Province, China.
China Fahui, Lawyer Experiences Magnificence of the Fa Principles, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in Gansu Province, China. Greetings to revered master, greetings to fellow practitioners. I practice law. Ever since I became a Falun Dafa practitioner, I have aspired to do everything according to the standards of Dafa. I never use the company phone to make private calls, take a case outside of work, or charge fees under the table. I never suggest to a client to bribe the judges. No matter how difficult my cases or clients are, I do everything I can to help them. Because I insist on handling everything honestly, even though a case may seem troublesome at first, it always seems to end up being quite effortless. Even when I lose a case, my clients understand. They are generally more disappointed with the Chinese Communist regime's legal system than about losing their case. I hold myself to Falun Dafa's standards at all times while fighting for my clients' rights. Again and again, my belief in the Fa has allowed me to see miracles in my work. The following are some examples. A man came to me in 2005 saying that he was injured at work. His employer had paid his medical expenses in the beginning, but later stopped. He was then forced out of company housing. He wanted to sue his former employer. I told him that I would charge him 30% of any settlement he received if I won the case. He agreed. After considering that the money would be used to cover his medical expenses, I decided that 30% was too much. I modified the contract with him and lowered it to 15%. If I weren't a practitioner, I never would have done that. The man wasn't able to give me any relevant evidence that would help with his case. In order to prove that he had even been an employee of that company, I had to go everywhere to find proof of his employment. It wasn't easy. There were a lot of problems. I was feeling extremely nervous and didn't know what to do, so I began writing down my feelings in a small notebook so that I could later examine myself to find and eliminate my attachments. The attachments I found included fear, impatience, and being anxious to get results. I tried to be what Master says in the poem In the Tao from Han Ying, quote, doing without pursuing, quiet without thinking, unquote. The statute of limitations in this kind of case is 12 months after the injury. The man had come to me 11 months after he was injured. That left me with only 1 month to find the proof of employment and apply for labor arbitration. Before I became a practitioner, I would not have been able to sleep or eat when dealing with a time-sensitive case like this. I would have worried that my client would crucify me if I couldn't find enough evidence. I would have obsessed constantly about how to protect myself if I lost the case. The worry and fear in cases like this exhausted me mentally and physically. After becoming a practitioner, however, I began to follow Master's teaching to always put others first. I now handle my clients' cases as if they are my own and don't think about the consequences. If I lose a case, I know that I am responsible and should face the outcome openly instead of hiding from it. I always do my best with every case I take. Take this one, for example. Most employers wouldn't easily acknowledge employment in a case like this, let alone admit to a work-related injury, so it was my responsibility to prove that he had indeed worked there. I also needed to find out which government agency was responsible for the dispute and to file the application to officially confirm employment and demand that the employer take financial responsibility for the injury. Because my client didn't have a pay stub, work ID, or anything else to confirm that he was injured while working for the company, I had to go to 3 different hospitals where he had received treatment and convince the doctors and accounting departments to work with me. I was disappointed when I found out that all of his bills had been paid in cash and not by check. I sat in the 3rd hospital's accounting office, thinking this was the end of his case. While wondering what more I could do, an accountant found a receipt for 2,000 yuan that had been paid by check. Finally, I had verification of the man's employment. The next step was to establish that his injuries were work-related. After working on this and communicating with the company for a year, I finally got them to pay a settlement of over 600,000 yuan. Normally, the maximum paid for a work injury claim is 200,000 yuan. The manager told me that if he hadn't thought I was so professional, he would never have paid a cent more than the law required. During that year, it was the Fa that guided me through every step. I put myself in my client's shoes and was able to close the case peacefully and calmly with a very comfortable state of mind. Most importantly, through this case, I helped my client and 6 of his friends to quit the CCP. In 2009, an older woman asked me to help her write up a complaint. I patiently explained to her all the legal aspects of her case and put together the relevant evidence. It concerned a medical issue that had dragged on for 36 years and that had put a big dent in the woman's health and in the lives of her and her family. I wasn't sure if I could handle it, so I helped her with all the preparation and suggested that she apply for legal assistance with the Bureau of Justice. She agreed to do so. Ever since then, she stops to chat whenever she walks past my office. I always tell her that no matter what, she must remember that Falun Dafa is good, and truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance are good. She always smiles at me and nods her head. Another time, a veteran's son got into a fight with his classmate and was almost killed. The prosecutor filed a lawsuit against the classmate, and I represented the plaintiff in a civil compensation suit. The family of the accused bought off the judge and hence didn't have to pay anything. The accused also managed to get a doctor to say that he had a history of mental problems and as a result didn't have to do any prison time. The veteran had been a loyal CCP member, but because of this incident, I was able to clarify the truth to him. He and his other son quit the CCP and decided to read Juan Falun. Another time, a young man from out of town came to me for help. He was here on business, and the owner of the hotel where he was staying tried to extort money from him. Because he wouldn't pay, the hotel owner had beaten him. When he went to the police for help, they took the hotel owner's side and treated him like he was the criminal. They threatened him and took away his ID. He asked me what he should do. I went with him to the police station to seek compensation from the owner and to get the police to return his ID. The police chief told me that his station was short on funds and that the owner said that he would rather donate 1,000 yuan to the police station than give the young man 500 yuan. I didn't give up and insisted that the hotel owner be held responsible. An officer took me aside and told me that the others were stalling with the hope that the young man would give up and go home. I told the young man what was going on and explained to him how the Chinese Communist Party operated. I asked him if he had ever heard about Falun Gong. He told me that once when he was in Beijing, a woman practitioner had helped him, and now another practitioner, meaning me, was helping him again. He asked me for a copy of Juan Falun and agreed to quit the CCP. Once, a woman from out of town asked me to help her sue her son to force him to support her financially. She was old and didn't have any income, so I decided to help her for free. I learned that during the Cultural Revolution, the woman's husband had reported her as a counter-revolutionary. She had been imprisoned as a result. While in prison, her husband had divorced her and remarried. Her husband then sent their youngest son away to the countryside and put his stepson under his household registry using his youngest son's name. Her youngest son had died from lack of care. To this day, her former husband's stepson was still using her son's identity. She resented her husband and his stepson and wanted to force him to fulfill his filial duty. I searched and found him, only to have him claim that he didn't know her. He refused to take any care of her. Upon hearing this, she gave up and went home. She couldn't afford the hotel expenses she would have accrued by staying and trying to fight him. The next year, she again came to me for help with the same lawsuit. This time, she had 3,000 yuan for expenses. Although she legally may have had a case, I didn't think it was worth the fight. Win or lose, the 40-year-long resentment was only going to grow worse after the case started. A lawsuit was not going to make her resentment go away and would ultimately end up hurting her even more. I explained this to her, telling her that she would have to hire someone else if she wanted to go ahead with the lawsuit. A few days later, she returned and told me that she had decided to go home. She didn't want to sue anymore and didn't want her ex-husband's stepson to be forced to take care of her. She had decided to let the whole thing go. I told her about Falun Gong, and to my surprise, she told me that she had been a practitioner before the persecution began in 1999. I suggested that she pick up the practice again, let go of her resentment, and focus on enjoying life with her daughter. Ever since I became a practitioner, I have told every one of my clients the facts about Falun Dafa. After understanding the truth, many of them realize that I truly only want what is best for them. This enables them to trust and confide in me. I've seen how benevolent, peaceful, and grateful people are after they learn the truth, and how they often quit the CCP without any hesitation. I am very thankful to have the chance to clarify the truth through my work. I feel the magnificence and beauty of Falun Dafa every moment.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.